Isn't this a sports show?
Being like a sports talk radio show host used to be what I wanted to do with my life. It used to be very exciting to me.
Almost entirely.
I want to yell at little kids. I want to tell little kids that they suck.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
You suck. You're adopted. Your mom's too hot for your dad. She's going to leave him soon. Get ready for it. Who do you like spending your weekends with better, your mom or your dad?
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
This is a template on how to lose your show before Alex loses his job.
We got time.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at JB Briscoe.
Is there a word that means both love and hate in some language?
I that the show.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Honestly, I just want to sit up straight, and I can't. Because this microphone is broken. Welcome in to the new 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City. We're officially moved over to 94.5, even though we don't have the imaging yet. We did our best. We handled it on our end. Now we're waiting. But even now, with the new FM station, we don't have a mic stand that works. Also, like for the record, we're in the same studio and everything.
Yeah, and also the idea was made literally about 10 seconds before the show started.
Yeah, we crushed it, though. I crushed it. One shot. I wrote down what I needed to say. Not even the whole thing. Just like the call letters and stuff. Did a little improv around it. Booyah. Perfect legal ID. I could do it again if you want.
That being said, all the imaging today will still say 993, even though it shouldn't.
Yeah, well...
We're working on it.
We're working on it. We haven't heard back from the big voice man. You know what we have heard from? Brett Veach. You say, oh, you're starting a Thursday show, very sportsy. First of all, we will leave the sports realm at some point today, probably soon. Because, again, whew, slow week. But there were some things out of the combine and also a couple of things out of the combine yesterday from the rest of the AFC West that I think bears keeping an eye on. Also, Eric Berry said some things about Marcus Peters that I think, well, I know people are interested in because I tweeted out the snippet of it and it's gotten like 100 retweets or something. So, big action.
Speaking of Twitter and lots of action.
Oh, yeah. If you go follow at Kansas City ESPN today, we'll follow you back.
How many followers do we have now?
Over 1,000. Wow.
That was louder than I thought.
That was nice. Yes, I have stepped in today. I had an idea. We ran with it. And with my idea today, the ESPN Kansas City Twitter is going to at least triple its following. We had less than 500 followers after however long that thing has existed. Today, I took the reins. Said, giddy up, horsey. I have an idea. And by God, it's working. So if you follow at Kansas City ESPN on Twitter, if you do it within the next, 18 hours or so, you have until noon tomorrow. It's open until noon tomorrow. And if by then you follow the ESPN Kansas City Twitter account, we will follow you back. Also in the future, the Twitter will actually, have things that will be good and useful. So have that to look forward to as well. The true excitement, though, of today comes from Chiefs General Manager Brett Veach. Here's a quote from Brett Veach from today. Are you ready? From the first day he stepped on the field at rookie minicamp, he's wowed us. He's one of the best players I've ever seen. That is Brett Veach talking about quarterback Patrick Mahomes. One of the best players I've ever seen. Oh, Brett Veach, you know just how to talk to me. You know just how to apologize for the cheating in our relationship that was you trading away Marcus Peters. You know just how to atone for your sins. You know exactly what kind of flowers that you need to bring me as you come groveling back, begging for forgiveness. All right, Brett Veach, you've got me. One of the best players I've ever seen! That's overly high praise. Why would you do that? GMs don't say stuff like that. Like, I don't know if you've ever heard, like, Mike McCarthy say that about Aaron Rodgers. No one says that ever about anybody. Brett Veach did it. Brett Veach said it about Pat Mahomes. Now, listen, what does this actually mean? Well, first of all, it means that we might get an interesting GM for once. That's exciting. Scott Pioli was a cyborg, and John Dorsey is just boring. Brett Veach might be out here just being like a wrestling character, and that'd be exciting. I'd really enjoy that. But more importantly, this is something that I've thought of as I've been, and man, my Twitter has been a mess these last few days. Not just with my own emotions, but with other people's. Like, I had somebody call all reporters like pencil-necked geeks or something to that end, which like just it was really a lot. But my mentions have been a mess with all the Marcus Peters stuff, and also people saying like, I don't know if I can root for this team. Like, this is really challenging my fandom, and I get it. By the way, I get that, especially if you believe that this was a Clark Hunt thing. It's got to be hard to willingly put more money in Clark Hunt's pockets after he traded away a very good player. If you subscribe to that theory of why things happened the way they did. But for once, I think the Chiefs have a singular player that's going to make it really, really hard for any fans to turn away. That man is Patrick Mahomes. I just thought that quote was fun. It felt like a good way to start a Thursday. It's been a very negative show. But the talking about the Chiefs for the last week or so has been really hard.
It's been depressing.
It's been very challenging.
Since Friday, sure.
Yeah, since Friday. Talking about the Chiefs since Friday has been a very difficult task. Not because it's been like hard to do the radio show. Nothing gives you an easier radio show than a move like trading your all-pro corner. Maybe because he knelt or sat for the anthem or raised his fist for the anthem. I mean, that is just... That's 10 hours of content. And then BJ, this is funny back-to-back. BJ Kistel said, that tweet had 221 retweets and 530 favorites. His next tweet was, Veach did add that Mahomes has a long ways to go. That tweet has 15 retweets and 85 favorites. We don't want that. It's March 1st. Give me unbridled optimism. Anyway, though, my Twitter's been complicated. The last few days of Chiefs coverage have been complicated. If you are currently being challenged in your Chiefs fandom, let's see if Pat Mahomes can reel you back in. I think he can. I think he's probably going to. Also, though, my mentions, as I've mentioned on Twitter, are just full of people who would be better off saying, hi, I have no interest in having a reasonable conversation about Marcus Peters. Please ignore me forever. Because that keeps happening. Again, one of these tweets, I didn't even respond to this guy. I've started trying to ignore them. But there was one guy that tweeted, other than the scribes of a few pencil-necked geeks, zero evidence that moving Peters was an edict from Hunt. Plenty of evidence exists, though, that Peters wasn't working in this locker room. If Peters is so great, why were so few teams interested in acquiring him? First of all, great player on the field, not questionable. Other than that, last sentence, we've talked about that. We've talked about that ad nauseum for a week. But the idea that there's evidence of something that he's looking for, not the other way around, because all this evidence is coming from Pencil Neck Geek reporters, all the information we're getting is coming from Pencil Neck Geek reporters. Like, that is just such... You can't insult the way you're getting information and then cite it. Justin Houston hasn't come out and said that Peters was a locker room disaster.
Has anybody?
No one has. That's the thing. And until a player says that, you're always quoting pencil-necked geeks.
And you'll usually get those at some point.
Yeah. And then today the thing that blew up was Eric Berry. I think he was on Good Morning Football, but I just read the excerpt on Arrowhead Pride. I screenshot it and tweeted out. It has 115 retweets now. And this is Eric Berry talking about the Marcus Peters trade. And then really, we might not talk about Marcus Peters again today, unless we end up talking to some other Chiefs people later in today's show, which is a maybe. We'll see. I threw some things into some DMs, and we'll see if they slide back into mine.
Wow.
But Berry said, quote, and this is a long quote, so bear with me. He's probably going to kill me for this, but I know he tries to keep a lot of stuff under the radar. But at the same time, when everyone was bashing him for certain things, Marcus would go to the store, and parents would be letting their kids pick out their shoes for the new school year, and he'd just be like, I got that. Don't even worry about it, moms. I'll pay for it. The headlines that reach are the ones that that are the negative ones, which I don't really think are negative. It's a balance between the way you express yourself and whatever, and it's all opinionated, and everybody has their own opinion. But why not put the stuff he's doing in the community? Let's talk about him getting his Adidas camp to do a coat drive in Kansas City, but nobody hears about that. But just the type of person he is and the type of thing he does, I wish people would try to understand the person a little more. I know they see us on the field, but try to see where all this is coming before making a judgment on something like that. Even if Eric Berry didn't really like Marcus Peters, there's no reason to say all of that. You come out and defend a guy that full-throatedly if you really believe in him, the person. And if you don't think that Eric Berry has his finger on the pulse of the locker room, you're not paying attention. Eric Berry is not going to come out and defend someone he doesn't think is worth defending. And even to the negative stuff, did you hear the thing about the negative stuff? The headlines that reach are the ones that are the negative ones, which I don't really think are negative. It's a balance between the way you express yourself and whatever, and it's all opinion, and everybody has their own opinion. Even the negative stuff Eric Berry is saying isn't that negative. And the positives are huge. That's what Eric Berry just told all of us. If you're not going to listen to me about Marcus Peters, listen to Eric Berry. I think that seems reasonable enough, don't you? So there are reports from guys like Lock and Fora that Clark Hunt wasn't going to pay Marcus Peters. There have been no reports from players or even reporters contacted with players that Marcus Peters created a cancerous locker room situation. Eric Berry just came out and defended him. And now, honestly, also, the people listening to the show now aren't really the people that need to hear me. It's the guys on Twitter that are never going to get this far into one of my podcasts, or who aren't listening to the show live, or who aren't even following me on Twitter, at JB Briscoe. They just see this get retweeted 100 times, and eventually it gets to these corners of the universe where there is literally no discussion to be had. And at that point, I do kind of feel like I'm shoveling dirt into the Grand Canyon, trying to fill it up. Is that an analogy? Beards, have you ever heard anyone use that analogy? I just thought of it, and I feel like it's probably been used before, but it also feels like I haven't heard
it before. The analogy is shoveling dirt into the Grand Canyon?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I think that's mine. I'm going to trademark that right now. Intellectual property. So that's, I feel that way to some extent right now. I feel like I'm shoveling dirt into the Grand Canyon, trying to fill it up, convincing people that Marcus Peters is not a terrible person, and that guys like Eric Berry add credence to that. Because you're right, I'm not in the locker room every day. I don't actually work with Marcus Peters. I kind of cover him. I've seen him in a locker room literally once. Nah, twice. Tried to talk to him after the Dolphins game when they won the division. And PR said it wasn't going to talk. Which was Chiefs PR, by the way, doing that, not Marcus Peters. Marcus Peters, currently, seems pretty willing to talk. I'm guessing you would like to have talked after the game, but I don't know. That's me guessing. That is conjecture. I'm guessing that Marcus Peters would have liked to have talked after that crazy Dolphins game where he just consumed Jay Cutler. But I don't know. I think Chiefs PR is afraid of him. Because I think the Chiefs are afraid of him. But I haven't heard anybody say he was a bad teammate. And Eric Berry just said he wasn't. And also is doing great things in the community. Lay off a little bit. And also, okay, this is super dangerous. So please grant me a little bit of wiggle room here, because I'm going to try to say this well. Don't let me get two words into this and then freak out. Give me two sentences, please. You two beards.
Darn.
There tends to be some common factors in the people that come at me screaming about how Marcus Peters is terrible or saying the Chiefs made the right move in getting rid of him. Because occasionally I'm interested enough to just to sort of figure out, hey, what's going on? What is this guy's deal? And a few of the loudest ones in the last couple of days, like in their bio, was like hashtag conservative or good old hashtag MAGA. Hashtag Trump 2020. Like that, there's a pretty consistent theme of those guys that show up talking about Marcus Peters. And this is, I have no interest in throwing this entire blanket over half of a political spectrum. Because that's not what I mean to do at all. I know plenty of people. I have lots of conservative friends, okay? I know plenty of people that would align themselves to a more conservative political ideology. That doesn't bother me. From an ideological standpoint, it's fine. It truly doesn't bother me. But it does make me want to dig a little bit deeper at why that connects to a dislike for Marcus Peters so much. Because I don't, but just with those people specifically, I don't think that you can be like a Trump conservative and say that you dislike Marcus Peters because he's aggressive and loud, right? Like, you see where the logic of that is kind of confusing? Because, like, that's Donald Trump is aggressive and loud. It's how he became president. And so I think it, for a lot of people, it does seed back the national anthem thing. And if it does, I wish people would just say that. Say, I'm glad he's gone because I didn't like that he held up a fist during the national anthem or sat on the bench. If that's your reasoning, then just say that and at least let's be honest about it. And again, not every conservative is a Marcus Peters hater. But I haven't found a lot of people who have had their political ideologies in their Twitter bio that have been glad that Marcus Peters is gone, that have gone kind of the other way politically. I'm not making a statement or even a conclusion necessarily. It's just an observation. I'm open to feedback on that one. I really am. Because I know we're in Kansas City, and I know that a large portion of people that love this team would put themselves on the Republican political side of things. It's totally fine. But this specific issue, it keeps crossing over. Beards, your thoughts? Beards is pressed against the far wall. Could
I'm
not
watching
be farther
the jump.
From this.
Don't nice. Interrupt.
All right, sorry. Go ahead and watch the jump. I just think it's kind of interesting, and again, I'm just kind of theorizing, maybe looking for some other people with other ideas. If you find somebody who's a hashtag liberal in their bio that's glad that Peters is gone, let me know. I don't know. I haven't seen that. So I'm just kind of looking at that going, what's going on here? Also, there's a new Twitter account called that's at the Aerodread. And it appears to be a fledgling Chiefs parody website My favorite headline they've had out so far is rumor mill. Chiefs gave up first and third round pick for Lent. And I'm excited about this. The world needs more of the Onion. I'm only upset that we haven't...
I just followed them.
Yeah, I did earlier today. I'm only upset that we haven't gotten this sooner or that I didn't think of this. Like, breaking. Chiefs signed newly free agent Papa John to fill cornerback position. It's pretty good. It's a pretty good headline. So I'm looking forward to the Arrow Dread. I would say they're worth a follow until they prove otherwise. All right, I'm still sick. You couldn't tell because I just used the cough button expertly. We're going to take a break so I can guzzle some of this lemon-lime sparkling water in hopes it will magically heal my esophagus. Whenever we come back, I want to talk about what's going on around the AFC West. Assuming anyone's still listening, because I used politically charged words, I think very, very fairly and very even-keeled. But I used some political words, which does make me think that maybe no one's listening anymore.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
I might just be a hamster. And that's a possibility.
With Joshua Briscoe.
That out of context will be stupendous.
That's what I was thinking when I marked it.
On ESPN Kansas City.
I am at a loss. Why did I say that? Was that about the flushing the hamster? Oh, no.
That was before that, I think.
So you had multiple hamster-based conversations?
Yes.
Hell yeah, this show's good. All right, in case you missed it earlier or if you haven't done it yet, go follow at Kansas City ESPN on Twitter. We are popping off right now. Because if you follow at Kansas City ESPN in a 24-hour window from noon today through noon on Friday, we'll follow you back. Let's see how we're doing right now. Oh, we're doing this, by the way, because it's a little bit of a new era where we were here. The show hadn't started before this, but I've been in the building. I think Beard's also been in the building since before there was any FM station down here.
Yeah.
It was just Hot Talk 1510.
Oh, by the way, when I was looking for liners.
Legal IDs.
Legal IDs, yeah. That were actually good to use today.
Yep.
I found a few Hot Talk ones, yeah. And I was like, oh, gosh, these existed.
Yeah. It was Hot Talk 1510 AM.
They're not great, let me tell you.
Not great. And then they added 99.3 FM, and then now we've switched over completely to 1510 AM and the new 94.5 FM. So add that to your car's presets, or, you know, at least follow us on Twitter. Make sure you're liking the Facebook page and everything, because we're going to try to do more new cool stuff, and it's easier for us to do that whenever we can point to our bosses and be like, hey, look at this. We have a following, and we're making it ourselves. So the fact
in
that we
day.
Can come back, what's that?
In a day.
In a day. In a day.
Yep.
Facebook's a slow burn.
That's true.
Because you
100%.
Can't... But the Twitter's working very well.
I want to know how long that Twitter's been active.
I can probably
because we
tell
got
you.
More followers today than it has in its lifetime.
It's a year.
Yeah.
A year and a month. January 2017. 2 months. So, yes. And over... We today have doubled it in a year. And not with some, like, viral tweet. No. We've been it with some good marketing ideas from Chaboy.
Hang on. Keep talking, but I got to get something.
Do you want me to keep talking about the Twitter?
Sure.
Okay.
Yes.
So that's at Kansas City ESPN and Facebook.com/ESPN Kansas City. We have new graphics and stuff with all the updated everything's.
Whose idea?
A fresh description.
Whose idea was it?
Oh, the idea to do this follow you back for 24 hours thing?
Yeah.
Oh, that was an idea from Chaboy. Yeah, that's fair. How do you not have that in the system yet?
I don't know. I just haven't gotten it put over. Actually, I bet you I have, and I just...
Whatever. Feel free to talk into the microphone, but whatever.
No,
it's,
I'm good.
It's up to
you.
Oh,
yeah, I do have it in there.
My ears have been hurting the last couple days. I think I might need to move back to over-the-head headphones.
Yeah.
These earbuds are...
It depends on the
earbuds
you get. Like, I always hated the iPod ones.
Oh, no,
those are the worst. No, they're
worst. I have these, like, these red Panasonic ones that are super comfortable.
Uh-huh.
And also really durable. Keith Olbermann is on PTI.
What?
Olbermann and Kornheiser are on PTI. What's going on?
Yay! Oh, I don't have it on TV.
What is going on?
Darn it. I love Olbermann.
I mean, I guess it makes sense to do it on a day when there's literally nothing in sports happening. I had heard that this was happening, but I forgot. Because Dan Patrick's people were giving him a hard time about would he ever go do a one-off, and he said no. But Olbermann and Kornheiser are on. There is so much grumpy white guy here. Oh, I want to. I'm gonna listen.
He'll be
to
on tomorrow too.
Here. 2 days, Olbermann. Yep. Interesting. I might have to go back and watch that.
Yeah.
So for man, I just couldn't care
I miss
less.
Olbermann.
I couldn't care less about the topics today. Because we're not talking about the AFC West, which we are doing here on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City. Also, our call letters are all funky now. I mean, it's still KCTE for the 1510 side, but there's like letters and numbers. We don't use the call letters in like a branding, though. It's just ESPN Kansas City. What was that, Facebeards? You look at your phone, made a ooh face, and then settled back up to your microphone.
Getting a haircut tomorrow, and I was trying to figure out a time.
You're getting a haircut tomorrow?
Yeah.
I don't like that.
It won't be much. I just need to trim it up.
Why are you getting a haircut tomorrow?
I need it.
No, you don't. This show is all about never getting a haircut ever again. I had to wear a hat today. If you're watching on Facebook, you can always watch the show on Facebook Live, facebook.com/ESPN Kansas City. You can see that I'm wearing a hat today. Because I had to. I was working on other stuff, all this Twitter stuff at home today. Took a shower. I was like, oh, man, I got to go. I got to get out of here. I'm not going to put any gunk in my hair. I'm going to throw this hat on. But, like, my hair at this point is just a lot.
That looks like it usually does.
Well, no, don't. How dare you? I'm guessing it looks really horrendous. But more importantly, the hat at this point is just because, like, it's not socially acceptable for me to wear a headband.
Like if, oh, that needs to happen now.
Well, okay, so I
would... See, with that jacket...
I probably could do it.
Like a neon yellow headband.
Yeah. Not like a big, thick one that girls wore in the 90s, but like a elastic one that goes the whole way around,
oh,
like a soccer player wears.
Okay, I got
that. I could pull that off.
No, I was thinking like an actual sweatband.
Oh, also works. Oh, that's
like,
a good
like
idea.
Like an NBA-style headband.
Yeah. I like that. Yeah, like a nice like neon yellow one.
Yeah.
Ooh, I could get some with the ESPN Kansas City logo on them. We should give those away.
We need to make a lot of stuff.
Hold on.
We need t-shirts.
Hold on. We got to write that. Well, yeah, we need new everything because the idea is different.
But, like, we need to, like, show t-shirts is what I'm saying.
Custom sweatbands. Okay, I've written it down. I'll go back and I will look at the details of that later because that's such a good idea.
Out of context, you'd be like, what?
Right, custom sweatbands. What are custom sweatbands?
For what?
No, you're right. We also do need to have, like, some show t-shirts and stuff. And now we have some, like, fan bases we can give them away to on the Twitter that we've built today in one day.
And
you know,
Facebook.
You know how they say Rome wasn't built in a day?
ESPN Kansas City was.
Bleep you, Rome. I mean, yeah, I think we pretty much did it. I think we're doing the damn thing. How did no one think to do this whenever the station started?
I don't know.
I am such a good deal on our salary cap. I was going to say I'm Tyreek Hill, but that isn't... I don't want to be Tyreek Hill.
No.
But there's not a better value.
Mahomes.
But he's a first-round pick. He's making millions of dollars.
Okay, fine.
Let's talk about... Quickly here, I mentioned Tyreek Hill already. You might hear this conversation. Go, wait a second. Are you not talking about Tyreek Hill still? I believe it or not, no. There is a difference between Tyreek Hill and Tavon Austin. Barely. The Rams are apparently planning to release Tavon Austin for the start of the new league year, according to Mike Garofalo. Maybe trade him if they can. Not a stunner. And I do expect the Chiefs to add a Tavon Austin type guy to this roster at some point to fill and hopefully go beyond the DeAnthony Thomas role they had last year. They always have that guy. But speed doesn't age particularly well. And Tavon Austin turns 27 this month. Reed always takes a shot at a guy like that in the middle rounds. It's DeAnthony Thomas or Tyreek Hill or Kareem Hunt. There are always playmaking guys. J.U. Chesson, DeMarcus Robinson. There's always a playmaker to be drafted by Andy Reed. I mean, truly, like, every year he takes someone like that. What's going on, Beards?
Was there a weird noise?
I didn't hear it. What did it sound like?
Oh, it's office behind me.
Okay. What do you mean?
There was just a lot of talking all of a sudden. It just sounded weird, and I was like, what going on? But no, it's just somebody's in there.
Okay. Andy Reid always drafts a playmaker type person. Always somebody. I would expect that to continue this year. But if the Chiefs end up deciding, hey, we can fill this role with Tavon Austin on a cheap deal for a year or two, that makes some sense. Brett Veach also came out and said something that that I didn't expect to hear him say, which is, yeah, this offense is different with Pat Mahomes than it is with Alex Smith. We're going to have to work on the guys we put around him a little bit differently. And I thought that was very interesting. I didn't expect a general manager to admit that, even though it's obviously true, which also led to a conversation about Albert Wilson. Brett Veach today was asked about Albert Wilson. He said he'd be excited to have him back or whatever. But whenever he was asked if he expects Albert Wilson to leave the Chiefs, Veach replied with, well, Matt's in Chicago. Albert Wilson to Chicago makes a ton of sense. I think Albert Wilson is currently being slightly overvalued. I don't want to say overrated, but slightly overvalued by Chiefs fans and fanalists currently. But he would be worth overvaluing in Chicago because Matt Nagy goes to Chicago, needs to put this new scheme in place. No one there knows what's going on. He's brought in Brad Childress. But it's him and Brad Childress that know what's going on. They're going to have to teach it to Mitch Trubisky and then everyone else in that offense, Jordan Howard, whatever. Bringing in Albert Wilson would make a ton of sense because the Bears need some receivers. Albert Wilson already knows what's going on. He's smart. Coaches seem to really like him. That makes tons of sense. And I also don't mind the Chiefs going another way because this is somewhere where I wanted to connect the two things Brett Veach talked about today to this end. He said, we're building this offense differently for Pat Mahomes. And also said, well, Matt's in Chicago. Albert Wilson makes more sense for as a Alex Smith weapon than he does as a Pat Mahomes weapon. He was really, really good in that game with Pat Mahomes in Week 17. He got a huge volume of the passes that Mahomes was throwing whenever he was out there. He was also the only reliable pass catcher that Mahomes was throwing to. I think you give Pat Mahomes a Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, Kareem Hunt, DeMarcus Robinson, draft pick, Chris Conley offense, and you're doing just fine. I think that is good enough for me without spending money and a long-term deal on Albert Wilson. At this point, I'm ready for the Chiefs to go ahead and let him go make money in Chicago. I would genuinely wish him the best in Chicago, and it makes more sense for Chicago to be willing to cut him a bigger check. I think that'd make a lot of sense. Brett Veach gives high praise to Mahomes, mentions that the offense will be constructed differently from Mahomes, then says, Matt's in Chicago. Love to have Albert Wilson back, but I think those pieces come together. I don't think you have to open your eyes too terribly wide to sort of read the tea leaves there. And even if it's not what Brett Veach is getting at, it's what I'm getting at. Replace Albert Wilson with someone with more straight line speed. Get somebody in the fifth round of the draft that is raw and he's not the route runner that Tyreek Hill is. Tyreek Hill gets the unfair criticism that he's not a full receiver. He's just a speed guy or a gadget guy or whatever. No, the reason he fell so far in the draft is because he beat his girlfriend. Find somebody else in the fifth round. Ideally, no more domestic abuse would be awesome. Find someone else in the fifth round who is just raw speed. And maybe this is also a little bit of DeMarcus Robinson. He's got a little bit of that in him. But go find a gadget guy. Find a gadget guy, find a speed guy, drop him in this offense, and let Mahomes throw deep balls to him. Like I think the Chiefs could be building an unbelievably dangerous offense next year, and I think it gets more dangerous whenever you replace Albert Wilson with a cheaper, faster player. Also, it gives you a couple extra million dollars to spend on the defense.
All that makes sense to me. I'm down with all that. I feel like that should work out. On the defensive side, by the way, or should I say on the defensive side, Brett Veach is talking like Dee Ford is going to be back this year. It makes sense that he would be speaking that way. But here's a paragraph from Brett Veach at the Combine today. It said, quote, "We're anxious for Dee to get back and get in the mix. I spoke to Rick Burkholder, our trainer, a few weeks ago, and we've been in an open dialogue. He continues to progress from the back. It was a couple of years ago. He had that 3 or 4 game span. He was on a tear. He started to turn the corner, and then he had some setbacks. We believe in him and his ability to really make a difference when he's fully healthy." Brett Veach on Dee Ford. I actually think there are like 3 different ways you can read this. All of them make sense. First, you can say, hey, if Dee Ford's back and healthy enough to be cut, he should be cut. Frees up, what is it, $8 million, $9 million? Something in that neighborhood that I'll tell you for sure as soon as my tab loads. I should have just kept talking, and instead of trying to load this page, good God, please, Wi-Fi, have mercy on my soul. This is unbelievable. 8.7 million. That was worth it. So listen, you say, hey, if Dee Ford's healthy enough to clear his physical, cut him. Do not pay him $8.7 million. Pay him nothing, which is something that you can do if you release him outright. Pay him a zero. Fill that spot elsewhere. It's Tano Passanio and Justin Houston, day one. Go draft somebody else to be your developmental third guy. Daddy Nicholas can be your third guy till that guy develops, and spend that money elsewhere. Spend it to lock up Marcus Peters for the long term. Oh, wait, damn it. Spend it on Aqib Talib this year. Spend it on a corner. Spend it to extend Kendall Fuller. Spend it on any number of things. Spend it on another pass rusher that you can invest in for the long term at a better value. That's option A. If Dee Ford is healthy, cut him. Spend that $9 million elsewhere. Option B is, hey, you know what? If Dee Ford's healthy, I think he actually has some juice. And I would also be able to buy into that. We've seen Dee Ford be really good in pieces. Whenever Justin Houston was out and Ford moved over to the left side of the defense, he was amazing for those few weeks. And then he got a hamstring injury, and Houston came back and moved Ford over. Ford hasn't been the same since then. Last year, he had a couple of sparks. Got a back injury. Never saw him again. If you want to buy in the Dee Ford's health, I think he might be able to be a decent player for you. But option C is that Dee Ford is just a more familiar version of what you would get even if you were to cut Dee Ford. But if you were to cut Dee Ford, there's a really reasonable chance that you're going to go spend $6 or $7 or $8 million on a 1-year stopgap kind of guy, a 1-year prove it deal to some veteran. And if that's what you do, if that's the case, just keep the guy you have. I think those are all reasonable options. I'm still looking at door number one, gate A. I still think that money could be spent elsewhere. I'd be at this point just finally seeing Tano Passanio get all the snaps. And if Justin Houston gets hurt again, you're bleeped anyway. Daddy Nicholas starts playing. Daddy Nicholas isn't ready. Daddy Jaffa starts playing. The reason that you would keep Dee Ford would be that you really believe that you're a contender this year. And if you really believe that you're a contender this year, you wouldn't trade a Marcus Peters. And I know we keep coming back to that, and I'm not going to try to come back to that, you know, for the entire offseason and then also all of the season. But it's a part of the larger picture, trying to understand where this team is at and where Brett Veach is at. If you did believe that you had a chance to win this year, you wouldn't have traded Marcus Peters. Not for that haul. Didn't help you this year. Makes you worse this year, unquestionably. Well, if you're not worried about this year, then Well, then you cut D Ford. Invest that money in the long term. I would think. We'll see. Brett Veach made it sound like this is a real possibility, something that they actually are, in one way or another, looking forward to. I have my questions about if that's a wise investment or not. The good thing is, the worst case scenario, as far as investment goes, is that you're giving them $9 million for this year, and then you're moving on next year anyway. I was on Sports Night with Cody last night. You can hear the podcast if you go to the Sports Radio 810. I don't know if it's on the Facebook page or not, but if you go to 810WHB.com, go to podcast Sports Night. It was the second hour of the show. Talked about all sorts of stuff, mostly Chiefs, Peters, and salary cap strategies. Cody brought up the idea that what if the Chiefs just didn't spend this offseason and rolled over a bunch of salary cap space in the next year? I thought that was kind of interesting, because at that point, you eat a bunch of dead money this year, and then you use that extra space to eat a bunch of dead money next year, and next year you're contending again. I thought that was pretty interesting. Hadn't thought of that yet. The rollover mechanism, where if you don't spend salary cap money, you can spend it the next year. There are some parameters on that that are a little foggy to me. But that was worthwhile also. And if that's something that the Chiefs are actually considering, then I also would rather have $9 million next year than D Ford this year. But Brett Veach sounded pretty optimistic about it. All right, we're going to take a break again so I can continue to take big gulps of sparkling water. I think I would know if I had strep throat. I don't think I have strep throat, but I feel like I have what you have after you have strep throat, where it's just like it feels like, you know, like, you know, the feeling of like scraping your knee on the pavement.
Yep.
And then how it feels whenever wind blows up against your knee wound. That's how my throat feels.
Huh. You should get that checked.
Nope.
Okay.
Beards. Do I look like a man with health insurance? Look at my jacket.
I mean, I don't see what your jacket has to do with health insurance, but okay.
Well, I actually called an audible partway through that joke. And I'm going to keep it that way. Again, for the people in the back, you're listening to ESPN Kansas City, which is 1510 AM and the new 94.5 FM. Today and today only, to celebrate this new endeavor in the 94.5 FM, if you go to Twitter, at Kansas City ESPN, and you follow at Kansas City ESPN, we'll follow you back, unless you're a Nazi. Or like, I mean, there are some parameters. So far, I've followed everybody. But yeah, I mean, if you have like a, maybe like if Hitler is your profile picture, I won't do it. And you can call this out and be like, hey, you said you're going to follow this, you're following everybody back. You didn't follow me back. I'm like, yeah, well, your profile picture is Hitler. So no, we're not going to. I will not. So that's our only parameter. Follow at Kansas City ESPN. Don't be a Nazi. We're good.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
If I ever order Uber Eats to bring me McDonald's, please do kill me immediately.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Or actually, just let heart disease do it. It'll get there soon enough, I guess.
Yeah. On ESPN Kansas City.
The Brett Veach comments on Patrick Mahomes are still exactly what I need to get through this day. Call him one of the best players I've ever seen. I mean, that's obscene. That's obscene praise for a man. Here's the official thing, by the way, on the receivers we're talking about earlier. Mark Sessler at Mark Sessler NFL on Twitter. So Chiefs GM Brett Veach says they'll likely, quote, be in the market, end quote, for speedy wide receivers in the draft to make the most of Patrick Mahomes' arm talent. This is, again, interesting for a GM to say that. I appreciate it. I hope he stays that way. But also continues to throw you back into that conversation about Albert Wilson and a similar conversation that we had about Chris Conley a few weeks ago. We talked about Chris Conley, and what did you fist pump at, Beards?
189.
All right. Beard's follower count climbs. We had the conversation about Chris Conley saying, listen, even if Chris Conley is a guy you believe in this year, you've got to be looking elsewhere for next year. He's a free agent after this season. And so that opens up a lot of question marks and a lot of opportunities for other guys to step in. At this point, an offense with a legitimate speed number two receiver opposite Tyreek Hill, it would be transformative. Like, truly, it'd be incredible. You have Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, overwhelming talents. Kareem Hunt in the back. Opposite Tyreek Hill, it's whatever number two receiver you choose. And then you have DeMarcus Robinson and Chris Conley as your depth guys, and Albert Wilson go get a nice payday in Chicago. And also, that is not going to cost you very much. Now, you could invest big money in your number two receiver. This is a plausible option. But if you don't, if you draft your number two receiver, the guy that's opposite Tyreek Hill, and you let DeMarcus Robinson run through the slot, then you have, if you draft that guy, you have even more capital to spend elsewhere, which is pretty amazing. You end up becoming this team in a really immediately flexible situation, but also in a very long-term stable situation. You're not going to have to pay anybody before you have to pay Pat Mahomes, not realistically. You stay within the window of Mahomes' rookie contract, see how he develops, and then you're investing in the guys around you. Like, there is a long-term concern for, you know, how long do you stick with Justin Houston and Eric Fisher and eventually Eric Berry. That does become problematic. Eventually, you're probably going to have to extend Travis Kelce again. But this like, 2-3-year window that we're entering right now, the Chiefs are going to keep themselves in very flexible situations. There's a commercial for Dairy Queen. I'm not sure I've eaten at Dairy Queen in 10 years. But this commercial makes me want to go to Dairy Queen so badly. Dairy Queen, hit us up!
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.